Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 16, and we'll be talking about episode 16 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Sayla's Agony, in which we see a terrible idea executed to a T. Moe agare, and take it away.
I'm recording.
I am also recording.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I was hoping for some sort of reaction.
You... punk bitch, you come into my bit.
Get zagged on, Fuzzy.
I've been zagged on in my own home. I can't believe you. Fucking...
You're like, hey,
let's start record. We didn't even clap sync, you cock.
Hey, we should clap sync.
Fucking on my count, since we're fucking switching roles today.
The bad part is I actually don't know how to start the episode. That's the only part.
Yeah. Fucking, how about them apples? Fucking coming in here.
I do this show with you every week, and then edit it after that. And I still don't remember what it is you say after hello and welcome back to another episode.
Probably because it's different most times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm Fuzzy.
Oh, are you? I'm Chris. Hi.
If you haven't figured that out, and you're on the 16th episode, weird jump-in point, but, you know, welcome back, or welcome in general.
Hey, every episode is somebody's first episode.
I guess?
And they're gonna be real, like, I don't understand why this is amusing. Actually, you know what? Long-time listeners are probably like, alright, you're not that funny, Chris. Calling you shit.
I mean, we laugh when we listen back.
Yeah, we're garbage also people.
Garbage.
Worst.
Anyway, so yeah, today we're talking about episode 16 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079. You know, that thing that I already told you in the fucking opening crawl lead-in of every episode, like I do every week. But here I am repeating it because fuck you.
Well, I really have switched positions now. I'm usually the one berating our audience.
Yeah, see? You
fucked
with the formula, Chris!
Let's start it over. Let's go back. Rewind. Hello! I fucked up again.
You fucked it up again? It's too late! It's too late! We're locked in! We're strapped here. We gotta fucking clockwork orange our way through this shit now. We are in the chair, eyes pried open, and we are watching.
No, that was last episode.
Every Gundam episode at once.
Robot Chicken, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean Clockwork Orange.
Yes, I know, like, but Robot Chicken is a more. You got to appeal to the children. With this show from the 70s that we're watching, obviously.
Obviously.
I was okay. You know what? I'm just. Everything's fine. Let's just do our episode. I fucked up.
Yeah, you did. So, as mentioned, this episode is episode 16, Sayla's Agony. It begins with White Base, apparently much like your hosts, feeling pretty shit at the time. Hey, at least it's not episode 15. No. So, They are a struggling, both from morale and just being fucking tired, and the narrator is kind enough to inform us that they're having trouble even just doing their basic duties. It's a bad time.
Shit's rough on White Base.
Yep.
War is hell.
It's a hard knock life. War is hell. As all of them are on the lookout for a meetup from someone that the good General Reville has sent. They're not sure who, or where from, or what in, and all of this is taking place in the middle of a fucking desert during a sandstorm, so, like, shrug? Audible shrug from everyone. Fra and Amuro discuss why Amuro should be the fuck asleep, because he's a pilot, and Hayato looks into a desert storm and yawns. The children are asleep, and we cut to the bridge of White Base, who we're all... This is where we learn this information about we're looking out for a dude. Kai, despite being a dick about it, because, you know, he's Kai... raises some legitimately good points about how we're kind of expecting a fucking hiker right now, because we haven't been informed of anything else. Mm-hmm. Sayla's like, I left the radio open, and Mirai's like, that's fucking dumb, no one's gonna call us on the radio. Also, Sayla's hair, like, during this entire
yes!
episode...
Yes, okay! Go ahead, sorry.
Real swooshy.
What's so swooshy?!
It's so swooshy. Like, okay. So, you know, Sayla's got, like, a... Is that called a bob at that point?
Yeah, I think
like,
so. It's his bob.
A shoulder-length bob that is fucking voluminous. Like, it's like... it's really like a fucking very wide half-dome.
Yeah.
That is on... Is a halo on Sayla's head. But, like, imagine that hair has just been, like, L'Oreal flicked a little bit. And so, like, you got one side kind of coming up slightly.
Yep.
Sayla's hair's doing that
Wisconsin.
All episode. All episode. Yep. Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
She also, like, later in the episode, I can't remember where, it's spoiler alert, she's in a thing doing a thing. they give her a lot more facial animation than they usually give her, or anyone for that matter.
That's true. She's kind of a focus this episode. Yeah, that's true.
And then the chef shows up, right?
Yep.
And he's just like, yo, we's out of salt.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bother you, but we're running out of salt. And Bright kind of looks at him like, salt? like eating table salt? And he's like, yeah, we're almost out of salt.
It's important, motherfucker. Jesus.
Yeah, and he's like, kind of confused, but understanding about it. Like, of all the worries I expected to have today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, salt just mundane wasn't one problems, of them. Too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was gonna say, this is actually a pretty good way of being like, yo, White Base is running really low on supplies in general, but, like, quality of life shit is something that is surprisingly hard to come by in war.
Yeah, I was about to say, I really like the idea that, like, it's not just, like, hey, like, this is a very mundane thing to come up. And, like, in a movie, this would never happen. But since we have 172 episodes to tell the story, we get the salt episode. We get the salt episode.
43?
Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
A much higher number. Interesting fact, a much higher number.
I feel like I was in the ballpark.
Sure, buddy. You're batting 1,000.
Woo!
Christ. So, Sayla walks over to the window and is like, oh, hey, fuck, there's a Jeep headed over here.
It sounds like there's a hitchhiker.
and there's a guy just sticking his thumb out. Sayla spots this Jeep. They call it a Land Rover, I think, and I'm like, wonder product if they paid placement. For that. Yeah, I don't know if they do that in the dub, but that's what the sub said, at least. That was probably literally what she said, a thing that goes on land. She didn't say car, I would have recognized car, but... Anyway, so everyone kind of prepares for the possibility that this is a badman.
Because the last person in a regular wheeled vehicle we saw were the Tucker's Kobolds.
That's true.
And they happen to be bad guys.
And the time before that, I think, was Char. So, like, we've had some bad experiences of dudes rolling up in Jeeps.
Yep.
Hard top or not. We also see that this Jeep is fucked up. Like, the top is blown open, and, like, the flap is flapping around, and the guy... Yeah, flapper. Guess that's my Pokemon name now. And really nothing, nothing for that, alright. So, man, that just knocked the wind out of me. That or you just, no, you're still here. You're just not finding me funny.
I'll be honest. Okay, I got distracted by, like, real life thing that happened. It's just, I have a child. Would you like to tell me the joke again?
No, I'm not gonna fucking repeat the shitty joke. It was bad in the first place.
I just
wanted to snort, Chris. I just wanted a little bit of a...
I'll record myself when I listen back to this and dub, like, cut that snort in. You know it's gonna happen. I'm fucking laughing the worst jokes. You're here to tell us about Gundam. I'm here to be fucking Ed the Hyena, just cackling at everything.
Hey, man. We have a system here, and it works, I guess. Cut back to 5 minutes of me just yelling at you for switching up the system minutely. Bright and the Boys, my new studio album, emerge to talk to the guy driving. All of them are holding guns and also wearing gas masks, because I guess sand is poison.
Just don't want to fucking... Look, man, they don't have
it's
salt.
It's rough and... Oh, Christ. The sand. The sand will just take them apart when they're so low on sodium. So they come up to him, and Bright grabs him, is like, "Do butterflies fly in the desert?" And this guy, who is, like, dying, is like, "Do butterflies fly in the desert? Only if the..." And he says something about a cactus or some shit. Yeah. And it's like, Bright looks to the other guys like, "This is the guy!" And he promptly passes out again, because he is dying. Because he's in very bad shape. Also, what a weird fucking, like... I find it interesting they chose a topical, fucking code phrase. Like, "Do butterflies fly in the desert?" And it's like, oh, hey, look where we are.
desert.
Yeah, they could have been, like, anything, like...
Do butterflies fly in the Arctic?
Well,
here's my thing.
Does Degwin Zabi have a monster dong? Like,
that would...
anything.
Okay, if me and you wrote this show, it'd be much better. so...
Bright just grabs this guy. Does Degwin Zabi have a monster dong? Now, you see, this is the trick. Because a Zeon guy would go, "Yes, of course." But a Fetty guy would say it in a roundabout way as part of the code word.
But that's what I was saying.
Because you can't deny the monster dong that is Degwin Zabi.
My God damn it. My question here is, like, okay, so you're like, it's not like Bright is inconspicuous. Like, that kind of thing is what you do when you're, like, in a fucking pool hall or in a dark alley somewhere.
Yeah, you meet in a park and you're facing opposite directions.
You just rolled up in a giant lion-shaped spaceship. And drug this fucker out of a Jeep. Why don't you say what's the code phrase, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
do not. They,
I'm imagining this much more violently now. Just like Bright not even waiting for the other four dudes. Him just sprinting out there, shooting the tire out, carjacking him, slapping him awake. GTA. What's the code word?
What's the passphrase, bitch?
Pistol whipping him.
Bright, stop! Why? He's
justice.
Sign. He's not saying the code phrase. You have a gun barrel in his mouth.
Oh God! Bright is Batman at you.
Our head cannons are our favorite.
Thing. Eclectic. We have unusual tastes.
Bright has a breakdown.
We did establish he's supposed to be the middle management type of dude. True. So. Fucking, this is the time he comes into work with a sawed off, I guess. Alright, so, fucking.
You need to make a track. Odessa Days in 5 days.
Yeah, so, fucking, yeah, they get him inside, and, this guy who's going to die, they're like, well, he's lost a lot of blood. We did some fucking basic treatment on him, but he's lost a lot of blood. And he's like, fucking Odessa Day is in 5 days. And Bright naturally goes, the fuck does that mean? Whitebase needs to get across the Caspian by then. What the fuck is Odessa Day? It's a major offensive that we're fucking launching in Odessa, because Makuve, some dude who works for Caecilia, has a big fucking thing that we need to capture. And... yeah, fucker dies. It's like, well, thank you, plot man. I hope you go to Gundam Valhalla.
He's got it, and reveal, right?
I hope he reveals plot and dies in Gundam Valhalla forevermore.
Super Gundam Valhalla.
Super Gundam Valhalla. Mega Valhalla. So, yeah, we fucking, he dies, and we get all this information, essentially, like, okay, Odessa Day, 5 days, gotta go there, Makuve is an asshole who exists, he works for Caecilia, and Sayla then goes, so we're doing military ops now? I thought we weren't part of the military, and everyone kind of just uncomfortably looks at each other and shrugs.
Hold on. What the fuck are they doing? What the fuck are they? Fuzzy, I don't know what the fuck their mission is.
Yeah, this has kind of confused me too. Like, okay. Earlier we kind of... So, we know earlier, especially regarding Amuro and Fraw and how they were talking, that a lot of the crew on White Base were civilians at Side 7, right? Yeah. Who basically fucking loaded up and just started fighting with military tools, and when they landed on Earth, Revel was like, hey, they're doing a good job. We have the data we really need. Fuck it. I'm gonna let them keep fighting until they die. But at no point did anyone really go, hey, you're all drafted now.
Or give the, like, I've been under the impression that they're supposed to be getting to Federation territory.
They are. That's where they're headed towards. Okay. Which also, real quick, I wanna note real quick of how this shit's really fucking weird now. So, the first part of this, they flew through South America into North America and then exited California.
Right.
That's when Garma died.
Yeah.
And I only know that because I read the fucking manga. Then they travel over the ocean for two episodes. Right. At one and at one, really. Like, there was the fucking Kozen Dozel... The episode we don't speak of in polite company took place mostly over an ocean, but the episode before that took place mostly over a fucking jungle. So, either they fucking got to... So either fucking episode 14 took place in Hawaii, and then we had a bunch of time... The Dark episode occurred somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and now these fuckers got to the Gobi Desert?
Yeah, I guess? What the fuck is
where
going
the
on?
Where the fuck was, I don't know, the rest of China, or India, or the Philippines, or Japan, or fucking anywhere? Because the only deserty fucking places, unless bombing Australia fucking had that profound of an effect on the entirety of the fucking biomes of Earth, which I doubt, frankly, because we haven't been dealing with it in any other way. They're either in Pakistan or way west China. And, like, either way, they're gonna have to go fucking fast to get all the way to the Caspian Sea.
Where the fuck is Federation territory, Fuzzy?
That's the other question I had. So, we know Zeon controls America.
Both and, Americas, apparently.
Yeah, they control the New World. I'm down for that. Where the fuck does the Feddies have? Something we learn later is their H- or, no, we know this now, their HQ is in Jaburo, which, as far as I know, isn't a real place.
I don't fucking know what Jaburo is.
Yeah, I've- they do mention it briefly, of, like, that's where the Earth Federation forces are primarily located, in Jaburo. But, fucking, also, I've just learned where it is, and I won't tell you now, but, boy, is this just gonna confuse us more. I'm just gonna give you that little teaser for now, because I just figured out where Jaburo was, and it basically invalidates the conversation we just had.
All right,
so well, where the fuck is Fedi territory? Where the fuck is Zeon territory?
It's all and lines on a map, man.
Apparently.
Anyways, like, back in this episode.
I don't fucking understand anymore. Like, actually.
Yep.
Like, okay, fucking... The other place I can kind of think of to pull some info from is Federation versus Zeon, the PS2 game, which does use the real-world map in addition to a Earth Zone orbit map to establish, you know, where Space Colonies and Luna 2 and that kind of shit is. And from what I remember of that, and granted it's been like 4 months since the last time I booted up that game, it seems like what we said earlier is correct. At the very least, Zeon 100% controls North America. And then they also control a good portion of Asia, but it seems like it starts dipping into fucking Europe and a good chunk of Africa, too. Which really makes me go, shit, they're winning real hard.
Yeah.
If they're controlling that much land. Like, I don't fucking know a lot about Risk, but,
yeah, damn. It's really hard to hold Asia, in Risk.
So I don't fucking know what the hell's going on here, geographically, or why the fuck Sayla is suddenly bringing up this, yeah, I guess we're a military group now. Like, you kind of were all along.
Yeah. Nerds?
Why is this suddenly a problem? And, like, I guess they do kind of show off that there is some, like, gap here, because the only guy wearing a full Fedi uniform is Bright.
Yeah.
Because he's an ensign, he is a military personnel, and he's wearing the uniform we see every other Fetty guy wear. Meanwhile, most of our young protagonists are wearing light blue and, like, pink.
Yep.
Which, I don't... you know, only the women are wearing pink, which makes me think... And fucking... What's her name? Your waifu with the red hair.
No, my waifu. Okay, never mind. That's,
the other one.
I forgot my waifu's name.
Yeah, Lieutenant What's-Her-Face. Can't remember her name. Lady McRedhead. She fucking...
Yeah,
she wears a full Fetty uniform. So I guess, like... But Ryu is established to be a cadet, at least?
Ryu's, like, a legit pilot.
Yeah. So, either only pilots wear blue, which doesn't make sense, because the engineering guy wears blue, as do the command chair kids, who perpetually exist suspended above White Base's bridge's floor. I've never seen them get down.
I think
they've been cursed. They sit there forever. They're doomed. They're attached to White Base. Anyway, so
yeah,
those
we've
two.
We've got to get back to this episode. We're not even
right, but like, so that means blue is either the cadet uniform or like the marginally attached civilian uniform.
Militia, maybe.
Militia? Why the fuck would they have a militia uniform, though?
Yeah, like, hey, here are untrained soldiers. Don't shoot them last.
Yeah, like, I don't under... It makes no fucking sense now that we're stopping to think about it, but fuck me, I guess. Especially that Ryu's in one of them, because Ryu's a fucking pilot.
Yep.
And a cadet, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We might be trying to science Star Wars right now.
We might be trying to science Star Wars, but fucking, at least geography could make sense, but it doesn't. So, anyway, Bright leaves the corpse behind, and, the cook is waiting outside for him. And he's like, we don't have salt. And Bright's just like, yeah, I know, buddy, I know. Why did you just notice we don't have salt? And he's like, fucking our closet got blown up last time we fought. And it's like, really? That's the reason? Why did we keep all the salt in one place?
Also, why is it so close to the bulkhead?
Yeah, why is it so close to the bulkhead? You'd think the kitchen would be, like, in the middle of the fucking skyscraper-sized Trojan horse ship.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Alright, and that was the end of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah, we got tired of it right now.
Not last episode that we had to record.
No,
twice.
Right, this was the breaking point. The closet's too close to the outside. What the fuck, guys? Tomino!
We know you're listening.
Tomino? We know you're that one.
Actually, we got more than one now. I'm assuming it's Tomino and his clones.
Tomino clones. Oh, God. Tomino got the other writers. Just like, look at these fucking idiots.
Listen to these dipshits.
Listen to these dipshits. So, we cut to Fra bringing Amuro some food with Haro. Amuro is, as always, working on the Gundam, and, Fra explains everything we just learned. That's all that scene functions as. Great. Also, someone yells at Amuro, like, hey, hurry the fuck up. And he's just like, I'm trying!
Fucking, jeez!
And then we cut away, and that was the totality of that 20-second scene.
Really good scene. Glad we kept it.
Yeah. We cut to Bright and Mirai on the bridge, and Bright's like, oh hey, there's a salt lake nearby that we can get some salt out of. Man, it sure... I heard that Makuve is having some guys in our current path. We could certainly make a little bit of a detour around this lake. And Mirai's like, you sassy bitch. Fucking, that's, oh, that's so unlike you, Bright. And he just kind of smiles, and she was it was real flirtatious, like, oh, that's so unlike you, Bright. And he's just like, the cuties. So we cut to the Gallop and Romba Ral.
Which,
we've seen the Gallop before, right?
I don't know. I know it's my first time being like, oh, what the fuck is that? Because I'm like, is that a land ship?
So we get to see the Gallop for the first time. Fun fact, I own one of these, like, as a action figure thing.
In your backyard. You take it, you use it to travel to school and back. It's not good for the environment or your pocketbook, but, I mean, you can't beat just rolling over everybody in traffic, right?
I mean, you don't even roll them over, you fucking destroy them with your it's a hovercraft, Chris.
Okay, so this is a hovercraft, okay.
This is a hovercraft. It's a giant, bright yellow hovercraft.
The colors on it are great.
Also, I always forget that what direction is forward on it, because when I look at it, my initial reaction is that the big gun goes forward.
Right.
False. What? The small guns and the docking port go forward, and like, that seems dumb? That seems dumb and counterintuitive.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it now, and you're right, what the fuck?
Yeah, so for those of you who for some reason are only listening, I don't all I know is in my action figure one, the big gun has a spring-loaded little shots in it, and when I press the button on top, they piddle out of the front, and yeah. For those of you who are for some reason using this as your way you absorb Gundam, and just this, imagine a right angle triangle. Like, you know, regular right angle triangle, for the sake of simplicity. And then make it like a wide prism. Then, on the, the longest side, put a big fucking gun.
Yep.
And then on the straight up and down side, put two smaller guns on each side of the prism, and a big fucking door.
Yes. It's, I don't care. It looks cool.
And then put a little head coming out the top.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little fucking Nubatron.
Zeon likes those because, anything that doesn't have legs gets to have a weird,
weird tiny head. You ever see those fucking pictures of video game characters, but their heads have been shrunken down, but their normal size body?
Yep.
It looks like that, but given, physical hovercraft form.
Also, it's got, are those turbines on the side, or are those rocket launchers?
I think they're turbines? It's great. Got two little wing turbines.
That's great. It's got the super fast mode.
Yeah. Also, it tows a giant yellow dome behind it. Yeah,
it tows a butt.
Yeah, it tows a giant just yellow dome around. That they drop it whenever they're about to go into combat, so fuck only knows what's in there.
It's probably with how good Romba and his wife are with their soldiers, it's probably all their soldiers' families and shit that they you know, you gotta keep them around. You gotta have, you know, it's important to be around your family for morale and, you know, for raising your children and stuff. And, you know, they just pilot this habitat around behind them, and then, of course, they don't want to get
hurt. If that thing gets blowed up, you're gonna feel real bad.
But it won't, because Romba's not gonna let that happen. It's gonna get blown up, isn't it?
I have no idea, but probably. I don't actually remember, but probably. Come on, it's a giant fucking dome. That's barely skating under the Zeon style guide.
Yeah, there's definitely not enough angles on it. Like, you can have domes, on your shoulders and head, but there needs to be angles coming off of that dome.
Well, actually, so here's, I thought about this for a long time. Zeon really likes curves.
True, like, it is fucking the Federation with those stupid spiky helmet things and...
Yeah, the feds really like angles on most of their things, whereas, fucking Zeon just likes it some fucking Aku aesthetic sometimes, you know? Just a little bit of spiky here and there. You don't need the spiky all the time. They're fine with not all the time spiky.
It's for embellishment, not foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ramba, he don't need none of that fucking embellishment shit.
No, Ramba don't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He's here to I mean he's gotta look badass, but he don't give a fuck about the embellishments.
Yeah. Also,
his weapon
this episode
have a sharp side.
Yeah. This fucking and still cuts through shit. This fucking episode really shows off that Ramba is a bear mode kind of dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a little bit of a chub on him, but he also has a lot of stronk on him too. Like, he's real bear mode, and I appreciate that.
I don't remember where exactly it is, but it's gonna come up soon. But I think it was even in person, even with people. The fucking walking animation in this episode is terrible.
Yeah, a lot of the walking is really bad, but it seems it's because they put it into a lot of shots they will reuse later. I imagine.
Good.
Because who needs walking? Walking's for fucking garbage people. We have giant robots. So we cut to the thing that's called a gallop, and Ramba, who is inside the little head dome, and he's like, he and Hamon are like, I'm gonna call Makuve. How did the dub say his
Makuve.
Name? Makuve.
Uh-huh.
That's what they said in the Japanese too.
By the way,
for some reason,
the way you have it, the way it's spelled, hurts my brain.
Look, I can't be fucked. So, and so they decide to call Makuve and like tell him what's good. This corporal answers and is like, Makuve's busy, so I'll be your contact. And he says his name, but I don't care. Hamon, he just tells him what's up, and Ramba's like, alright, cool. We're in your area. Bye. They hang up, and Hamon brings up that she has heard that this Makuve guy is a man you should be careful around. And Ramba's like, fuck that, I'm just a fighting man.
Yes.
I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum and then get the fuck out of here, TBH.
Ramba's just a simple, good guy.
Yeah, like, I came here to kick ass and avenge Bishonen, and I'm all out of Bishonens. So, let's fucking roll, son. Which I kind of appreciate the fact that Hamong is the one who... She's real smart.
Uh-huh.
And we just keep seeing more of that. Like, whenever Ramba goes, Hamong's in charge.
Yep.
And everyone's just like, yeah. Yeah, she is. Uh-huh. And I'm like, damn, cool. That's really cool. We cut to that corporal who answered the phone, and he's talking to some guy who's off screen, and we see this, very fancy glass vase, and this, off screen guy, like, flicks it and is like, listen to that beautiful tone. It's from the Song Dynasty, China. And the corporal is just kind of confused. Like,
he's a fucking corporal.
Yeah, like, okay. When this other guy gets a call, and it's like, hey, White Base is changing course, and, they're going away from your minds. And, we get to see the man now, and we get our first look of the wide eyes and broad head of Makuve. He looks like a shifty piece of shit, who's trying real hard to be Garma, but has 20 too many years to work with here.
Yeah. I'm a little upset with him, to be honest.
It's just gonna get worse for you, my guy.
Aww.
I like Makuve a lot as a villain, especially after Garma, because like here is a pretty boy. Here is the unfortunate end point of a lot of pretty boys.
Yeah.
But McCuffey also doesn't fuck around. Like, he's an actually pretty good tactician.
You know, he's got those fucking Falconeer gloves on. Of course he's not fucking around. He's got an ascot and gloves. He's here to do business.
Yeah, you're right. Like, he doesn't fuck around, and also he pilots one of my favorite mobile suits later on. Boy, oh boy, am I excited when that one shows up. Really excited. So, McCuffey just looks kind of shifty as fuck, and he kind of turns around and is like, good, good, so they're heading away from my mines, which means that Rambo won't encounter him around my mines, which means that, hopefully, that keeps him from ever telling Dozel about the truth of my mines. Then it's like, oh, okay. And so then he tells the corporal, go fucking tell Ramba where White Base is going so that he goes off that way. And the corporal goes off and does that, and we get just kind of a final, like, planning shot of not literally McCuffey twiddling his fingers evilly, but the closest thing to we then smash cut to Ramba, who is separating the Gallop from its giant dome and setting off to go... to go fuck up White Base. Ramba's like, man, glad McCuffey decided to tell me this. Fucking, that guy has his men really on top of shit. I appreciate that. And Hmong just feels like shit's amiss. Like, she has a bad vibe.
I got a bad feeling about that.
Yeah, a little bit. We cut back to White Base, and they have learned the lake has drained entirely. The cook, who we learn is named Tamura, is lamenting the fuck out of this and the seeming futility of this requested detour.
Yeah. I feel the true tragedy of this episode. It's called Sailor's Agony. I really think it's Tamura's Agony. Like, this guy, the roller coaster of this guy's fucking emotional state. He's like, I'm just trying to feed all these motherfuckers. We need some salt. Because, motherfucker, if you don't have salt, it's just gonna go bad. Also, makes fucking people feel better if their food tastes okay. I'm doing my best here, and I want to tell this fucking asshole that we're out of salt. And he's like, okay, I've got a plan to get you some salt. And he's like, awesome, great. Guess what? Plan failed. Fuck. Oh, guess what? There might be another chance. Okay, cool. I'm not getting my hopes up this time. And then it happens. Well, we think it happened.
Yeah. Presumably it happens, but that's all the way at the end of the episode. Because one of our cursed to forever stand above the screen and never touch the floor guys looks up this lake in the encyclopedia and is like, oh, this thing moves every 500 years.
Which is just, it's, I know what they mean. Like, lakes can, like, form rivers and like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Change, like, not with the lake the size that this thing is. It's not out of, but like, are they saying their map is more than 500 years old?
No, they say it's from before the war, yeah. And it's been a year.
Yeah.
Like, not even a full year.
So,
like, this lake packed up and moved in the span of 9 months. That's a lot of lake that left.
A lot of lake. I think this may be plot bullshit.
A little bit. Yeah, they lament this quite heavily, and Whitebase then learns, oh fuck, there's a thing that's real fast headed this way. It's too small to be a gaw, it's too fast to be a this, it's... it goes fast, it eats ass, and I'm not prepared. And then they point out, like, we've never fought anything like this before, which is true. Bright's like, hey, fuckers, go get in your mechs, and Amuro, Kai, Hayato, and Ryu go down to prep their mechs. We cut to the Gallop, which is headed this way, and Ramba's headed out with two Zakus to flank White Base. We cut to White Base, and Amuro and Kai arrive in the hangar and see the Gundam in the process of launching. We see the blonde engineering boy, who I'm surprised we ever saw this guy ever again, but we learn his name even, it's Job, or Job. I don't know.
I was gonna say, if it's Job, I'm gonna fucking lose my shit.
I wasn't paying super attention to what the fuck his name is, so let's say it's Job.
Okay.
Because it's spelt J-O-B.
Yeah.
They probably meant Job. Anyway, Amuro screams for Sayla to fucking get out, and we cut to commercial.
Shoo!
We come back.
Shoo!
There we go.
I'm sorry, I'm very tired today.
It happens. And Sayla launches the Gundam. She is very bad at it.
Okay.
In fact, she...
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, she almost vomits immediately and crashes the Gundam square into the fucking dirt.
So, this is the part where I start really paying attention to this episode. So, I might have more to say now. I'm sorry to let you have you slog through this on your own. I'm not being very good help. But, she fucking, like, lands crotch first into the ground. In this thing.
Ready to give that desert a good Gundam fuck.
Also, I was worried that I had, like, zoned out. But going through it now, she doesn't say prior to this or give any, like, an indication of what she's trying to do.
When she crashes, she's like, I've got to make contact with a Zeon soldier. And it's like, okay, why?
we all know.
I mean, yeah, we all can kind of put some shit together, but, like, still at first, it's like, fucking, what are you doing?
Also, this is a terrible way to do what you're doing, Sayla.
Like, fucking ring him up or something, man. I don't know.
Yep. She says, like, I don't understand, like, oh, man, that was weird. Like, I aced this in the simulators, but I was not expecting those G-forces. And that's a common thing with her complaining about this. She's like, I don't understand why I'm so bad at this.
I can think of a few fucking reasons, Sayla. Namely, you're the comms officer up until this point of the show.
Yep.
What the fuck, my dude?
Yeah.
So.
Also, you're not, the protagonist. Like.
That too.
You should know this.
Sorry. Well, she develops a bit. Let's put it that way. Our favorite blonde family.
No, but I mean, like, Amuro was pretty good at piloting Gundam the first time. Well, hold on, Amuro didn't have to fuck with gravity the first time he piloted Gundam.
He didn't have to fuck with a strong of gravity. He didn't have to launch from a thing.
Also, he has, like, dumb psychic powers. No?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I cut that out? I don't
understand. No, like, you're right. Actually, I don't know if Sayla's a new type or not. I think she is.
Okay, well, maybe she does have dumb psychic powers.
I don't know. Either way. So, boy, does it get dumb. So, she spots the Gallop, and the Gallop starts fucking just laying into Whitebase, and Whitebase proceeds to respond in kind, and Hmong's like, fucking strafe this bitch, but don't stop shooting. Sayla manages to get the Gundam standing, and Izaku comes up and just starts fucking shooting her with the Tommy gun.
Yep.
Sayla can't hit shit.
Nope.
As she fires back.
She says the phrase in the dub, I don't understand, my aim is spot on, but I'm not hitting. Sayla, that's not how aim works! If your aim was spot on, you would hit him! Sayla!
In the sub, she says that I never imagined targeting would be so hard.
That's better! Like, that's a shitty thing, like, you're still dumb, Sayla, but... Fucking... you just said two contradictory words in phrases in English. My aim's spot on, but I'm missing. It's not how fucking...
Yep.
Okay, anyways.
Not how aim.
Nope.
So, she's getting her ass kicked. And Ramba jumps in and is like, I'm gonna fucking kill the Gundam. But as he gets close, the gun cannon comes up and shoots him square in the fucking chest.
Yep.
Amuro, turns out, is piloting the gun cannon, and he's doing a really fucking good job.
Honestly, my thought was, like, dude, you're better in the gun cannon than you are in the Gundam. He wrecks house in this episode in the gun cannon.
He really does. It's kind of a cool way of showing us that, like, hey, Amuro's a good pilot.
Yeah, because...
like, it's not just the Gundam that's good. Like, at first, yeah, the Gundam was good. But Amuro's hit the point where he's good.
Because Kai pilots the gun cannon normally, right?
Yeah.
It's Ryu and the little guy pilot the gun tank.
Okay. Yeah.
This is where we show he is probably... like, Kai doesn't do kick-ass shit like this.
Yeah.
Kai mostly just fucking complains about being in a fight.
Yep.
But yeah, so Amuro shows up in the gun cannon and just starts kicking ass, taking names.
Yeah, really kicking ass, too. And it's cool, too, because, like, it's kind of implied that the cannon has, like, thicker armor and shit. Mm-hmm. So he just tanks some shit and just fucking lays into fools.
Yep.
We get some very off-model shots of the gun cannon running. It looks like it has no neck.
Yeah, when they're running, you're talking about the one where the goof is running in the background and another one's running in the foreground?
Does that one too? I was just talking about the close-up of the gun cannon running, and it looks like fucking his head got smushed down into his fucking shoulders bad.
The fucking running animations in this episode are terrible.
Yeah, a little bit. That being said, every time they shoot a gun, it looks real good.
Yeah.
All the fighty parts are good, but everything between the fighty parts is real. Ugh.
Yeah, they know where the money shots are.
Yep. So Sayla gets the Gundam standing and tries to go over to where the goof was.
Uh-huh.
And Amuro's like, we don't know if he's fucking dead or not.
We haven't confirmed the hit, Sayla, stop!
And suddenly the heat rod, which I remind you is the whip, cuts the Gundam's foot off, or the front part of the foot.
Yeah, from under the sand, like a real cool, trapdoor spider-esque attack. Amuro, this is one of the two notes I have written down, this one. Amuro yells, Sayla, please fall back! Sayla literally falls backwards.
Hey, following orders.
Because the front of her foot got cut off.
Yep, a little bit.
Well, front of Gundam's foot. In this episode, and this part is the beginning of it, but it happens more and more. Pieces just fucking come off the Gundam in this episode. Seemingly pretty easily, too.
Yeah. Gundam gets fucked up a lot in the rest of the show, basically. Like, Amuro does not get off scot-free, nor does the Gundam more and more in the show.
Because I was like, man, are they saying, like, fucking by force of will, Amuro keeps this bitch together? Because I ain't buying it.
Yeah, no, he's not that good at magic bullshit psychic powers. He doesn't cast mage armor on the entire Gundam.
Fucking bark skin. Just
bark skin. Romba comes out and is like, I use the sand to cushion the explosion, punk ass.
I fucking love Romba.
Yeah. And armor, fucking starts bringing the goof whip out just to fucking whip Amuro's shit, and Amuro's like, ha, ha, ha.
Amuro backs the fuck up.
Yeah. He just keeps trying to whip Amuro, and Amuro's just dodging perfectly fine, but is like, I can't get a fucking lock on. He eventually manages to just kind of shoot wild and almost get a hit, and Ramba's like, fuck this. Meanwhile, Kozen, a Zaku pilot, decides to try to capture the Gundam and just fucking flying knees at Sayla. Sayla blocks the kick with the shield, but then Kozen gets behind her and starts fucking grappling the Gundam by literally just grabbing its fucking head with its big meaty Zaku hands.
Shoves a fucking thumb through the scanner.
shoves one finger. So we also learned this: the Gundam's main camera is in the middle of its forehead.
Yeah, it's that thing on the top that says "shoot me."
Yeah. So he fucking slips a finger in there, crushing it, and then starts trying to like take out the Gundam's eyes. But like now, I don't know what the fuck the Gundam's eyes. Excuse me. What the fuck the Gundam's eyes do? So like, why do eyes? What is their function? Because it's implied for the rest of this episode, Sayla can't see.
Yep.
Like, we have some shots where, like, the window next to her clearly sees outwards, but yep. I just took that as animation discrepancy, because she literally says, what's happening, I can't see.
Yep. Maybe, so, like, maybe the eyes are decoration.
Then why do they exist?
So I would like to remind you that there's weird spiky forehead crowns on most Gundams.
I don't have a response for that. like, okay, that really though, at this point it really weirded me out because fucking why not have them have binocular vision?
Yeah, no, it feels like the eyes should be the main scanners, and the forehead should be, like, should be infrared, or, yeah, or just something that's collecting other data. It is weird that technically, the Gundam also has a mono eye.
Yeah. And it gets even weirder when other Gundam series, like, the fucking forehead V, it's supposed to be like a samurai helmet, yeah. You know? And it weirds me out that it's like, yes, the main camera is in the middle of the samurai helmet. Like, why?
Yeah, the purpose of those things were to distract your enemy.
Yeah. But it's even weirder because in other Gundam series, the eyes are the main camera.
Maybe they were trying to fucking psych them out. They're like, okay, Zeon, fuck it, if you can shoot that little red light moving around in their head, you hit their camera. So they're going to think that our eyes are our camera and try to poke them out, Three Stooges style. But this guy, this cousin, was just too fucking slick, and he's like, I bet it's this thing. Or maybe it was an accident. It's like, oops.
Maybe.
Because then he tries to poke the eyes out.
That's true. Also, he does try to...
Sorry.
Well, he does try to do that, yes. Yep. You probably had something more entertaining to say.
No, this episode, I guess the other episode, but Ramba fucking uses his soldiers' names.
Yeah.
In this episode. And like when they get shot or hurt, he is not happy about it. Like,
yeah.
Ramba gives a fuck about his soldiers, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, very, very contrary to our local red boy.
Or, Char don't give a fuck. Like,
Char doesn't give a fuck.
We never knew any of those fuckers' names.
Yeah, Char would actively grab a motherfucker by name and put him in front of him.
Yep, like, no, you are a what's your name? Mark? Okay, Mark, your name is Bullet Shield now. Have fun.
Bye, Mark. So, Kozen fucking tries to now gouge out the eyes of the Gundam, and Sayla's pretty fucked. Kozen's like, hey, Ramba, if you use your heat rod, you can fucking slice all its hydraulics right now.
Yep.
But he, for the most part, has Sayla dead to rights.
Yep.
The gun tank proceeds to get into it with the Goof, just by laying fucking fire down, and Goof is like, fuck this. Well, Amuro fights the third Zaku, and while he does get a grenade to the face that the gun cannon just tanks, he does lay a shot into this third Zaku, or second Zaku, and fucking kills the guy by just straight shot into the cockpit.
Yeah.
Akus, R.I.P. Yep. R.I.P. Akus, you did not have a face. No, we do see your face briefly, mm-hmm. Just as you die.
It's sad. Yeah. Because Ramba's like,
yeah. Ramba's like, fuck no. Kozen, we're getting the fuck out of here. And so Kozen's like, oh, okay, and drops the fucking Gundam, but then Amuro sticks his fucking hand out and is like, nah, bitch.
And punches him in the face.
He punches him in the face and then knees the fucking Zaku in the face, which Wang jangles it so hard, Kozen passes out, and the Zaku is literally just its head is fucking kind of smashed.
Yeah,
and
like, so you can see the camera. And by the way, I got... I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but when he starts dragging that fucking Zaku back, I got so fucking excited. Because listeners will remember, I really wanted him to take the last Zaku they found back, instead of throwing it into the goddamn ocean.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they do that this time. All in all, episode 15 sucks ass.
But yeah, he punches it, and it cuts and shows you Kozen inside, like, getting jostled around. And then he knees it, and it just shows Kozen, like, bashing his head against the inside, the side of the fucking cockpit, and just, I thought he was fucking dead. He, like, it was violent.
A little bit. So, Ramba and Hamong decide to fucking leave. And we get a brief conversation between Hamong and the co-pilot of the Gallop, who's like, I'm a little fucking salty that we're retreating since we could be using, like, the new Zanzibar ship.
Ooh, and it's like, what?
Yeah. And Hamong's just like, nah, wouldn't have been worth it. But this brings up two things. First of all, it seems like that's probably what we're going to go try to capture in Odessa Day. But second of all, Ramba apparently, if he asked, could get it?
Yeah, but
which raises some questions for me.
Okay, I as the resident Ramba expert, I will field these questions. Go ahead.
Why the fuck does he have the power to do this and just take it out of its prototype fucking shipyard and go fight Whitebase with it if he wanted to? Why does he not, and then why does Makuve not order three of them and have all of them fucking destroy Whitebase?
Alright, one question at a time. So, he can have it because you've seen his fucking mustache. He doesn't, because you've seen his fucking mustache. and Makuve's a dumbass, so I don't know what you want. I'm not the Makuve expert. I'm the Ramba expert. I don't know why I got a Makuve question.
All right. thank you, resident Ramba expert.
All right. I'm just going to be over here, combing my mustache.
All right. Just for reference, how many of your answers regarding Ramba are have you seen his fucking mustache?
That is a good question, and to which I will answer. Have you seen his fucking mustache?
All right. Cool.
No further questions.
Got it. No other questions, Your Honor. Fucking bang the gavel. We're done here, I guess. Except not. We have more episodes.
No, I'm the editor. We gotta stop there. I made a good job.
So, fucking... they fuck off. Amuro drags the Zaku back by the face.
Yeah, it's real harsh.
Yeah.
You get the impression that Amuro's fucking pissed that someone else is in his Gundam. It's just
A little bit.
Not happy.
Because he's literally, like, he's got the fucking gun cannon, the thumb on the top of the head, and the fucking fingers are just wrapped into the eye ridge of the Zaku.
He's just dragging it. It's the equivalent of dragging it back to... Amuro's dragging it back to his cave by the hair.
I was thinking more like by the nose.
It is kind of like he's fishhooked this fucking...
Yeah, or like grabbing onto a dude's fucking brow so hard you can pull him.
It's bad. He's not happy.
Yeah, he's not happy. So they bring it in, and then they fucking pry Kozen out of there, and Kozen's like, I assume you'll treat me according to the Antarctic Treaty. And Brett's like, yeah, but you won't be fed well.
Sorry. We're running, and he says we're running low on rations, which I'm like, okay, don't tell the enemy that. And then that guy's like, yeah, me too. They don't really give a fuck about us frontliners, do they? They expect us all to be dead. And I'm like, fuck, Kozen, you work for the best, like the nicest Zeon leader. Wow.
Yeah. From what I, well, so, like Ramba points out, he's a commissioned command officer, but, like, he's one who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know a lot about military, but I think I know enough that that doesn't happen super often.
Not in Zeon.
Apparently not in Zeon. So, like, I think, like, it's just, I think it's a matter of literally, like, I'm a fighting man who gets out in the front and... Uh-huh. Fucking, they don't give me shit. Yeah. Like, I can ask for this big warship, but they can't send me much in the way of food?
Yep.
Like, as I'm saying this, it suddenly makes less sense. Weird.
Yeah. Well, I...
Sciencing Star Wars?
Sciencing Star Wars. Onward.
I guess, yeah.
That didn't come across via audio, but I banged my fist against the...
I mean, I heard it. Yeah. So, fucking Cousin's like, alright, yeah. And we cut to Sayla, who's being dragged back in the Gundam via being the gun tank's backpack.
Yeah, I thought it was actually kind of cute.
I thought it was pretty funny. Sayla is taken to the bridge and is sentenced to 3 days in solitary confinement for, you know, stealing the
committing
Gundam.
Treason. I want to say in the English dub, and I hope in the Japanese, in the sub, it was better. In the English dub, there's a bit here I really don't like, where Bright is like, why the fuck did you do that? Were you trying to prove that a woman can be as good of a pilot as a man? And she just says yes. And I do not like it.
In the Japanese, he literally is like, I don't really want to have to fucking send you to jail, but you kind of force my hand here. So, yeah, 3 days solitary, my dude.
But less comments about her gender, I'm assuming.
None that I remember. Maybe good. I was just looked down at that moment, but, like, didn't seem fucking like it.
Ugh.
Yeah, real weird. Weird that they do that. I blame the early 2000s. Ryu's like, alright, come on, I'll fucking take you down there. And, we cut to the brig, and Frau and Job, excuse me, I'm gonna call him Job, Frau and Job are about to give Kozen some food when Ryu is like, one of you is Frabo, and there's only two of you. Let's help.
Does he actually call Frau out?
No, he doesn't. Okay. He didn't call her out, but I really got that impression.
He said, in the English, he said, wait, y'all don't have enough people to do that. Which, that's fair. It's just in the sub, he's like, that's Frabo.
Maybe I put my own thing in there. I don't know. apparently. So, Sayla's like, I'll do it. And takes the food tray from Frau and fucking carries it in.
Yep.
And as she leans down to Kozen, she's like, and, you know, I remind you, earlier she was like, I need to make contact with a Zeon soldier. So she leans out into this guy and is like, hey, what happened to Char?
You got some of that Char like, news?
And he's like, fucking Char? Like, as Nabel? Fuck, he got demoted and sent home after Garma died. And Sayla's like, got it.
Thanks.
And just backed away. And Ryu's like, the fuck were you talking to him about? He was trying to buy me off.
Yeah, he's trying to ask how much money it took to buy me off. And I'm like, they don't give any follow-up questions? Like, yeah. How much did you tell him?
Like, like, what's the going well, right here?
Yeah, what is the number? I want to know. What is the offer?
He puts her in solitary, they lock the door, she just kind of avoids eye contact with everyone, and they're all like, you know, it's only 3 days. Call if you need anything, I guess.
Yep.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. You can tell that both Ryu and Frau like are like are like, oh, this sucks. Our friend is in jail.
Yeah.
But they treat it like school detention. Like, oh, our friend can't go to the skating rink after school with us
because she's in detention. You know, because she committed a crime.
Here's we come to the second note I took.
As she sits down and has a nice cry.
Yes, and she says the words.
And she sits down and goes, Char, he's really my brother.
Yes, out loud to herself.
Yes.
And he's...
So we, the audience, get the confirmation that Sayla and Char are... We're 99% sure that they are...
I got so fucking mad. Like, I stood up and walked away from my computer at that blatant fucking exposition there. Just, there's no reason, like, at least have her think it. Or just say, my brother's alive. Like, there's so many different, oh my god. That's the worst line. Char is my brother and he's still alive. Say it out loud to herself.
Yep. Also, thank God Bright doesn't just, like, decide to creep on the jail cells sometimes.
Ugh.
Ugh. Yep.
He's too busy fucking backhanding pilots.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
I wonder what would happen if you tried to backhand Ryu.
Fucking unstoppable force, immovable object, my guy. Fucking white base just explodes. Speaking of, White Base pulls up to the fucking Salt Lake, and it's pretty, and our final shot is a slow pan of the lake and White Base floating gently over it, as the music does the pleasant song swells. Meanwhile, next time, Kozun escapes with secrets, Kai runs into trouble getting fucked by the goof, and last, but certainly not least, and it's also the title of the episode, Amuro deserts. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro!
Fuck.
Yeah. This is our longest episode, Fuzzy.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong with us?
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 16 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal accounts from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a shot, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, Amuro is actually a good pilot. Seriously.